Grab a drink and have a seat. It's time to chat with the hottest new artists and songwriters around. This is Back Porch Sippin' with Lindsay. Brought to you by Post Meridium Spirits. They create the world's best ready-to-drink cocktails with 100% real ingredients, no shortcuts, and zero compromise for whenever you're ready to drink. With 8 signature cocktails, you're sure to find desirable flavors all year long. And with their recipe for success printed right on the can, you know you're getting a foolproof, perfectly balanced drink every time. Just shake, pour over ice, and enjoy. Find them at postmeridiumspirits.com. Post Meridium Spirits. Tiny can, big love.
Tyler, thanks so much for hopping on the Back Porch Sippin' podcast. Super happy to have you on.
I'm honestly super excited to have this conversation with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Man, I know you look very calm, but what a freaking week you've just had.
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of people that have been working hard for a minute to help make this happen. So it's not just me. I think my whole team would feel comfortable saying that the win was for the village, because that's what it takes. And yeah, it's been unreal. I'm just trying to kind of pinch myself a little bit, to be honest.
So for those listening, what Tyler is talking about is he just released his EP. So very cool. Not only was it just release day for your EP, it was also the release for your first major label cut as a songwriter. So talk to me about that too. I mean, wow, what a perfect day for everything, really.
Yeah, it was awesome. The timing seemed rather divine. So it's very reassuring when things like that line up, and you know, that just doesn't happen by coincidence, you know? So it's reassuring, and it makes me feel like God's got me kind of right where he wants me to be. And I just, if I'm going to be patient on him, then that's when he does the coolest things, is, you know, just like, I never could have dreamed that up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been great. I mean, I'm actually writing with Randy today. We just got done. But he was a writer on the Chase Beckham Bad For Me song. And he actually signed me to my pub deal over at Warner about 3 years ago. So it was really cool for us to get my first major label cut together also. So it was just all the parties involved. Everybody was happy. I'm stoked and just grateful. And yeah, I mean, I literally couldn't ask for anything better. So
now, Randy being such an incredible songwriter himself, talk to me about when you met him. Was it kind of like a pinch me moment? And like, looking back now, writing with him all the time, do you get like that moment where you're like, wow, I can't believe, you know, we're buds and this is how it all played out?
There's some of that, but I mean, Randy and I met at an archery event where we were shooting our bows, and it's like a thing Music Row, Music Row Outdoors does every year, and we got to talking at one of those things, and he was like, give me your number, I'll shoot you text sometime or whatever, and we'll hang out. And he called me one day, way later. He's like, hey, man, like, I dig what you're doing. Do you have a pub deal? And I said, no, I'm driving a tractor on Broadway. I would love a pub deal, though. And he's like, all right, well, we'll see what we can do. And he just kind of, like, we kept in contact for, you know, about a year or so. And then he finally was like, all right, let's just go ahead and sign you to Warner under me, pretty much. And ever since then, our relationship's just really – It's wild, because time does so much in this town. And, you know, when he signed me, hell, I wasn't even, I don't think, close to like being worthy of being in the rooms that he was in. But now, as you know, I'm coming up on my fourth year. Now, when I sit down and write with Randy, like, he's rubbed off on me so much over that span of time that I'm like, okay, like, I actually do feel like I deserve to be here. And, you know, he's part of the reason why, because I've just surrounded myself with people that are very talented, and I just want to be a sponge. And he gives me a really good opportunity to be a sponge. So it's been sick.
Yeah, that's awesome. Talk to me about coming to Nashville from Georgia. Was music kind of always the path you were, you know, aiming for, or when did music start to become a bigger part of your life? And then when did you make that move over here?
So, it was always a big part of my life, but not in a way that people publicly knew that it was something I was thinking about doing for the rest of my life as a job or career. I actually left Georgia and moved to Wyoming before I moved to Tennessee, and I worked on a ranch out there for a little while. And that's really when I started pulling my guitar out more and sitting down with it and writing songs. And it was just, you know, out there under the Tetons, with the best view on almost probably planet Earth. It's just hard not to feel some stuff. So that's where a lot of my passion for songwriting came from, was spending, you know, all day on a horse and then watching the sun go down over the Tetons. I mean, there's not a lot of people that get to say that they've had the opportunity to do that. So that's really what put the nail in the coffin to get me to Nashville. But I met a family out there from Dixon, and their names are Mr. Ed and Miss Dana Anderson, and they were like, "Tyler, you know, what are you planning on doing when you move? You know, when you leave Wyoming?" And I told her, I said, "Miss Dana, I really want to move to Nashville, but I just don't know how I'm gonna do it." And she's like, "Well, we have an extra place you can go stay at. We got a little farmhouse you can stay out there." And I said, "Don't tell me that, because I'll take you up on it and you're gonna be stuck with me for a little while." And she's like, "No, we'd love to have you." And took her up on it, packed all my crap up in the truck, and moved out to Dixon, Tennessee. I didn't know anybody except them, so that's kind of how I ended up here.
Wow. So what do they think about, you know, the success you've had so far?
You know, nobody in my life that has ever pushed me. Like my parents, for example, like they've never, which I wrote this down in an article the other day because I had to think about it for a while, but they've never made me feel like they're responsible for my success. And they've also never made me feel like they're responsible for doubts that I have, or like them being the type of people to be like, "Well, if you know, you might not make it." Like, yeah. I've never had people in my life close to me that have put that type of thoughts in my head, or tried to take that type of responsibility. But they know, like Miss Dana and Mr. Ed know what they did for me. They won't admit it, but they're like, "You did it, blah blah blah. We didn't do nothing." But I call them all the time. I'm just like, "I can't thank y'all enough."
Yeah. That's how you know they're good people. And man, the world needs a lot more of it. So I
yes,
love
ma'am.
That. So growing up, who did you listen to? Who were some influences, you know, favorite bands, things like that?
A lot of Aldean.
Okay.
I was a huge Joe Nichols fan. George Strait. I grew up on old Cody Johnson and like Wade Bowen and John Mayer, even. You name it, I was listening to it if it was on, you know. I will say I didn't grow up listening to like 90s country or old stuff, just because I feel like most of those people are like, "Yeah, well, my daddy had these records that he would just play all the time in the house, and how do you not know the song," or whatever. I'm like, "Well, I'm not 60 years old, so I was just listening to what was available to me at the time, you know." I do love that stuff, but I grew up on a little more like Texas Red Dirt. Obviously, like Luke Bryan, Farm Tour and stuff. He was doing all that stuff in South Georgia when I was in high school, so. We did that a lot. Brantley Gilbert, his old stuff, like the Saving Amy and You Don't Know Her Like I Do. And yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, it was the good old days.
Yeah. Music's a little different now, that's for sure.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
So thinking back on the artists that you mentioned, if you could pick like your like festival lineup, who would you pick to open up?
Like, okay. Like first of three or something.
Yeah.
I would love Oh, that's a really good question. I would love, I think Luke Bryan's crowd is crazy. I think that would be a really fun thing to do. But Jason Aldean's right next to him for like the headliner spot. And Aldean's probably above Luke just for the sake of how much I love Aldean's music. I love Luke. So let's just say they're sharing the headlining. They're playing the show together. And then direct support. Probably like a probably Brantley or like Mike Ryan or somebody that
Okay.
I love Mike Ryan and his old stuff. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that sounds pretty good though.
I do like that lineup. It's pretty good. Listen, I know you can't see my studio since we're over Zoom, but I have like a freaking like an Al Dean wall. He's my favorite
Really?
artist. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, he's awesome.
So I gotta ask, based off of Al Dean being, probably one of your favorites, you like old Aldean better than what's now, or vice versa?
I mean, there's been a couple records or like production decisions that I think they've made over the past decade that might necessarily like wasn't might not have been a fan of, but what John Morgan's doing with Aldean, which I hope he hears this. Like, I think John's one of the best freaking singer writers people in this town, hands down, like no questions asked. But I think what he's doing with Aldean is changing up a lot of stuff that maybe started to get a little not exactly where Aldean wanted to be. I think John's helping him kind of get back on track of what he was. And maybe I don't even know if Aldean, he probably knows that obviously, but yeah, I really like his old stuff. There have been plenty of songs off of the new records that he's put out that I've loved also.
Yeah, definitely agree. Big, big fan of John. Got to see him just last week, actually. So, yeah, he's an incredible songwriter.
Yeah, he's really good.
So, of course, just released that EP, and I want to dive into the process a little bit. So, when we put out episodes and artists talk about, I just put out an EP, I just put out a record, whatever, a lot of fans will chime in and they have questions. So, kind of break it down a little bit for people, that have no background in the industry. How do you go about picking the songs that go on? Is it kind of like a lengthy process for you, or how does that go? Because I know, as a songwriter, you're writing, hundreds of songs. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you kind of just gotta, you have to build it almost like it's pieces of a house that you have to kind of put together. And once do you want a back porch and a front porch, or do you just want one slow song? Like, do you want a two-story house? Like, do you want to have six songs on the EP or four, because a lot of people do four. I think it's just to answer the question best is the best song always wins. So regardless of the house, like if it's already got a slow song in it, and there's another really good slow song that you want to put on there too, and they're both great, then they win, So like Loves Me Like a Small Town, we wrote in 2021. If that tells you anything.
Wow.
So, but, and then all the other songs that are on there have been written since, and most of them were written last year during the summer. So it's been, yeah. I mean, the old saying here in town is like, you spend your whole life writing your first record, and then the second one you're supposed to write in a year. But, yeah, I
So,
hope that answered.
yeah, of course. So, did you already have kind of like your core team, like a producer and everybody like that? Like, how did you go about finding the person you wanted to produce the album and everything like that?
Yeah, well, it was Zach Aubin who produced it, and The first time we wrote a song with Josh Phillips called Down Here, and I want to put that out one day still. But it was kind of like a guy that I've always been a fan of in town, and I knew when we wrote that day, I was like, I can't mess this up because I want to ask him to produce me. So I have to write a good song today in order for that to happen. And luckily we did, and it was good enough that I was able to reach out to him later and be like, yo, dude, we're looking for somebody to do some sides, and we just love what you do and think it'd be a good fit if you're down. So I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to. And yeah, kind of end of story. We just,
There you
we,
go.
we've, we write, we wrote this week, and yeah, he's awesome and really talented.
There you go. It's always easy, finding like a good team. I always tell artists when they move to town, if it's hard, it's the wrong people. Like that simple.
Amen.
So I think I probably know the answer based off of who you typically listen to. But for folks listening to the episode, never heard your name, never heard any of your music, what's three words you would use to describe your sound?
Edgy, truthful, and melodic.
Okay. I
That's
dig
what I want it to be, anyways.
it. Hey,
I'm
that's what you want it to
about
be. That's what it is.
to say, if that ain't what it comes across as, then they're just gonna have to be like, too bad.
And thinking of the EP, what's the first song you would send someone to listen to if that was the one song they could listen to, just one, what are you sending them to?
I mean, everybody loves Roads I Go Down. I personally really love Loves Me Like a Small Town. And Dirt Roads Dirty. Didn't Love Her If You Don't is probably the realest song I've ever written, but I can't answer that question. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Good thing it's an EP. Just listen to it
Yeah, just go to the one that has the most streams. That'll give you the best chances.
There you go. And of course, Tyler, go ahead and shout out your social media handles where people can follow you, check out the music, all that good stuff.
Yeah, everywhere you listen to music, it's just Tyler Chambers, not Tyler Childers. And yeah, my Instagram is Tyler Chambers Music. It's not Tyler Chambers. So if somebody else is DMing you or whatever, don't be responding to it. That crap gets crazy.
It does. Yeah.
People are wild. But yeah.
Well, I know just put out the new EP, but of course, I'm sure you ain't stopping there. So, can you share anything that you're currently working on or goals for the rest of the year when it comes to music?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote three songs this week that I really love. I wrote a song last week that I really love, and who knows what's coming up around the bend for next Monday. You know, I mean, we are constantly writing songs, and I feel like more people are getting on board as we go. So I think it's just a kind of a snowball effect right now where I just have to be, I'm trying to write the best songs I possibly can. And then we kind of will decide, you know, if we're putting out how many singles again, or, you know, working towards shopping majors or, you know, stuff like that. But we are going to be putting more music out without a doubt. And we will be playing some shows soon. So.
Heck yeah, love to hear it. I always like asking newer artists and songwriters because I know you've got, a whole group of people you either write with or just friends that you support. So if you had to name a few folks that are kind of in the starting out phases of their career for our listeners to go check out, who kind of comes to mind?
Like brand new, like nobody knows about, or like kind of up and coming.
You can do either one.
Okay. Well, my buddy Noah Hicks signed a record deal this week with Big Machine or their imprint label. I don't know. It's not, it's through Big Machine, but I can't remember the name of the label, but he just signed a record deal. And so I would definitely keep my eye out on him. Obviously, Dylan Marlowe is great. My buddy Derek Austin's doing some big things. From a songwriter perspective, I would say Nick Walsh. If y'all are, anybody listening is a fan of people who write songs, you should go look up Nick Walsh. And then, like, there's some younger guys in town, like Carson Wallace just signed at Hardy's Publishing Company. He's got a super cool voice, super cool sound. There's so many people. But, yeah. I could literally list off. I could list off a lot of people, to be honest.
Right. I'm like, let me go through the contacts so I don't forget anybody.
Yeah.
Well, all super great choices. Of course, if anybody listening wants to check out Derek, we had Derek on the podcast, shoot, probably like 2 years ago now. But great dude. All of them super great. Noah, finally happy that he got signed. So those are all great choices. Tyler, one final question to wrap up the interview with you. If you had one song to listen to the rest of your life, only one, what are you going with?
I Don't Do Lonely Well by Jason Aldean.
There we go. That's a smash right there. Well, Tyler, been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I love the EP. Great work for sure. And I can't wait to see what happens in your career.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity and you taking the time to talk to me.
Where I'm from, we got the mud, it's everywhere we go. From the bug blood to the dash dust, it stains the boots and clothes. You can hang it up on a line till the sun goes down. Country don't come out. By 16, those red wings start thinking they can fly. And it ain't long for those dreams outgrow the county line. Next thing you know, you leave that little town. The country don't come out. No. I'm talking about that draw. No, you just can't hide it. That grizzly penny draw. And the girls are kinda like it. Straight up off the vine. Right from the horse's mouth. No, it don't lose its shine. Thank God. Country don't come out till a couple beers makes them taillights disappear. But even then there ain't no doubt. Country don't come out like a stuck truck. Four low hubs all caked up. A worn winch and a butter scream. And give it hell, oh boy. Yeah, my folks are that kind of loud. I'm talking about that draw. No, you just can't hide it. That grizzly penny jaw. And the girls are kinda like it. Straight up off the vine. Right from the horse's mouth. No, it don't lose its shine. Thank God. Country don't come out. That middle of nowhere. No, it ain't going nowhere.
Thanks for listening to Back Porch Sippin' with Lindsay. Subscribe now to stay up to date and hear new episodes first. Be sure to like and follow us at Back Porch Sippin' POD.